routines. I think most of us have some sort of routine. I know I do. Because I have found in my life that if I follow a routine, I can be more productive and I can get more out of my day. So some of you will probably think I'm hopelessly rigid, but my routines, at least during the work week, go something like this. Get up between 4:30 and a quarter to 5. Get a hot cup of tea to warm up. Spend time worshiping God. Then on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I head off to a swimming pool for a workout. On Tuesday and Thursday, I do some early morning worship and message prep. Get back from the workout, shower, eat breakfast, take the dog for a walk, head off to the church office, then work there about 4 hours. Work here about 4 hours, I should say. And then back home for a snack. I read the paper that's online. I read the Sacramento Bee online, or at least portions of it. The sports and the local and the front page and things like that. And then a little work in my home office, some rest, and a little more work, and then an exercise break, and then supper, and then a little more work in the home office. And then between 8 and 10, usually wind down doing something. And then 10 o'clock, lights out. And that's the way it is, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, pretty much during the work week. Now, lest you think that I'm just hopelessly rigid, I just got back from vacation a week ago. And in case you're wondering, did Ron and Valerie have a great time? We had a super time. We had a wonderful vacation. We were with our two boys and their ladies, and we just had wonderful family time. We were down in a place near San Diego, so we got some warm weather, and it was fantastic. So I want you to know, during the vacation, I was not on any kind of routine or schedule. In fact, I just tried to break whatever routine practices that I have. It was awesome to be no routine. But, again, I have found that when I follow a routine, that I am more productive and I can get more out of my day, and that's very important to me. Christianity has its own routines and traditions. And one of the most routine and traditional of all Christian ceremonies is the communion service. The communion service. The communion service, I mean, it has its elements, and you could close your eyes, and you know what they are. There is the foot-washing ceremony, and then there is the bread, the communion bread, and then there is the communion grape juice. And it follows in that exact order, 1, 2, 3, and it doesn't deviate from that. It's a predictable routine. As a pastor, I have always looked at communion services as opportunities to make them unique. And it's very important to me that communion services aren't the same. I have never given the same message at two communion services, ever. I think communion services need to be unique. There needs to be something special and unique about each and every communion service. And so that's very important to me. Speaking of communion services that were different and unique, I heard about an Adventist youth pastor once who had a youth group, and on a Friday night, in conjunction with the youth vespers, he decided to do something a little out of the box, unique and different. So rather than having a foot washing ceremony, this particular youth pastor had his youth wash each other's hands. Now, this particular church was not amenable to out-of-the-box thinking, and so this particular youth pastor got severely criticized for doing hand-washing instead of following John 13 and washing one another's feet. But if you think that this youth pastor's communion service was out of the routine and controversial, let me tell you about another communion service that was way more controversial than his. It was a Thursday evening in Jerusalem, a little over 2,000 years ago. Jesus Christ was gathered with his disciples to what they thought would be to celebrate the Passover service. What Jesus did next was such a radical departure from tradition. Here is what Scripture says. As they were eating, he took bread and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many." Now, I know what you're thinking. You're saying, "Pastor Ron, that's nothing controversial. That's the passage that is read either from Luke or Matthew or Mark in conjunction with the communion service. That is very routine." However, it is for us who live in the 21st century. But if we lived in Christ's time, particularly if we were present at this Last Supper, as we call it, we would understand what a shocking and controversial, out-of-the-box thing this Last Supper was. As soon as Jesus said the words that I just read from the English Standard Version, as soon as Jesus would have said those words, his disciples would have probably looked at one another, and if they didn't say the words, they certainly would have thought it. They would have thought, did Jesus really say what we think we heard him say? Are you kidding? For you see, by saying those words, Jesus was breaking over 1,000 years of tradition, of Jewish sacred tradition, completely rewriting the meaning of the Passover service that the disciples thought that they were there to observe. If there had been Pharisees in that room who were to hear the words that Jesus said that we just read, they would have probably torn their robes and would have shrieked out in loud voices, "You are a blasphemous, blasphemous person, Jesus." To understand just what a radical departure from the Jewish tradition that Jesus was inaugurating that night in the very first Lord's Supper communion service, we need to understand a little bit of the meaning of the original Passover service. For ancient day Israelites, the Passover service was an annual ceremony that commemorated one of the key defining moments in the history of the Jewish people. For the Israelites had been enslaved under the bondage of the Egyptians for 430 years. 430 years. And the Passover service was to remind them of this special event, this miracle of God, that they were passed over for death as they put the blood over the doorposts of their dwelling places. And it was also symbolic and reminiscent of the time that they were released from Egyptian bondage. Here is a picture of them passing through the Red Sea, when it parted and they walked over on dry land. And this is one of the most memorable and historic events in Israel's ancient history. Why did Jesus say these words that he did? It's like he purposely ignored the Passover and starting a completely different service that he would call the Lord's Supper. It was a radical break from tradition. For you see, up until that time, the Jews followed the instruction that God himself had given in Exodus chapter 12, where he had commanded the Israelites to observe the Passover, to do it every year, and to do it the same way, just according to how he outlined in Scripture. And so every year at Passover, the head of the household, the father, would walk his family through the different elements of the Passover service and what they meant. Each step of the Passover meal was symbolic of something of the Israelites being delivered from slavery, from Egyptian bondage. And Jesus' disciples, being men, would have known that order. They would have been the head of the households of their families and most likely would have led their families through the elements of the Passover meal and knew the meal and the elements of it by heart. Yet on this night, Jesus, the head of that household in the upper room, leads a very different meal. He stands up, and for the very first time in the history of the Jewish people and the history of the world, he breaks tradition. He breaks the routine of the Passover, and he inaugurates the Lord's Supper. Talk about controversial. Now, I would ask you to fast forward just a few months after that. And now we see the disciples. Jesus has ascended. He's gone back to heaven. Pentecost has happened. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit has taken place in great measure. And a description of the early church in relationship to the Lord's Supper routine goes like this. This is Acts 2:42 from the Living Bible. I know the Living Bible is a paraphrase, but just pay attention to the language. They, the early church members, joined with the other believers in regular attendance at the apostles' teachings. They regularly attended church. And at communion services, the Lord's Supper, and at prayer meetings. The early church regularly observed the Lord's Supper. In fact, there's some indication that they were so excited about celebrating the Lord's Supper that they may have even done it as often as daily for a period of time to remind themselves of Jesus, his sacrifice for them, and that he was coming home someday to take them back. Now talk about a regular routine. We celebrate the communion service once a quarter, four times a year. What would it be like if Pastor Ron got up and made an announcement? Church members, rather than celebrating the communion service quarterly, four times a year, we're going to be doing it three times a week just because we are so excited about the sacrifice of Jesus and want to be reminded. The communion service, the Lord's Supper, for the members of the early church was anything but old hat routine. They were so filled with the love of their Savior, Jesus Christ, and had such an intimate and fresh relationship with Christ that it wasn't old hat routine to do it frequently, almost every day. The communion service can become something that we do over and over again. I don't know how many communion services I've been to in my lifetime, but hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds. It can be something that we don't even think about, that becomes old hat routine. And just as some of my routines that I do in my day and the routines that you do in your day, you don't even think about it. We've done it so often that we don't, I mean, which one of us gives thought about brushing our teeth? We've done it, hopefully, every day, at least twice a day. And because we do something so often, we don't think about it. There is a temptation, ladies and gentlemen, to allow the things of God to become old hat to us because we do something over and over again as a routine. Manna fell fresh every morning to the Israelites. every day, Friday twice as much, Sabbath none. And the things of God should never be old hat routine to us. They should be new and fresh every morning, every day. The communion service gives us this incredibly wonderful opportunity to treat something that God has said, I want you to do in remembrance of me. To treat it as something that is so meaningful to us that it's anything but routine and old hat. So today, as we celebrate the communion service, I would just invite us to get a glimpse of Jesus in a new and fresh way. And make this ceremony anything but routine old hat. And think about the time that the first Lord's Supper was inaugurated. And how controversial and routine busting it was. And make today a day that you fall in love with Jesus again for the very first time. Before George Brody has a prayer of blessing over our experience in our foot washing, I'd like to point out where the venues are. The men only will be meeting in our junior room. If you're not acquainted with the geography of our church, just follow people down the hall and you won't have a problem. The women only will be serving in our early teen room, and the families and the couples will be serving in our fireside room. May you experience the blessed joy of serving one another and reflecting on the one who gave his life and said, the greatest among you must be a servant like me. George, lead us in a prayer.
Gracious Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, we thank you again for the moment in which we come before you. We bring our sins to you and we ask that, Lord, cover them with your mantle of peace and forgiveness. Father, today we want to remember also those who have gone before us. The Green family, bless each one as they remember their father, their grandfather and great-grandfather. Lord, we pray that one day when you come to the clouds of glory, you remember these names at which we speak before you today. Also today, Father, we want to thank you for the memories in which you gave to us so long ago. In the upper room you gave to us joy that we look forward to. Remember today, Father, as we commemorate the foot washing ceremony, we thank you so much for the memories in which you give to us. You told us to do this often. And yes, again, we thank you. Thank you again, Father. Now go with us today. Bless and keep us each. For your honor and glory, Father, may we speak your words. Bless us, I pray. In your precious name, Father.
Amen.
Amen.
If any would rather remain in our sanctuary during the time of the foot washing, there'll be some soft, nice music that'll be playing in the background, so you'll be comfortable here. And then we'll reconvene back here for the Lord's Supper. You are dismissed. Foot washing experience. I got to wash my bride's feet, so I was very, very blessed. Love you, Valerie, and thank you for that opportunity of doing that. Sometimes she's doing music or I'm doing something, and we just aren't able to do it, but we got to do it today. So what a blessing. What a blessing. We are here to celebrate the Lord's sacrifice for us. In fact, maybe why don't we all say, I am here personally to celebrate Jesus and what he did for me. Make it personal. Make it personal. And as we hold the emblems of the Lord's sacrifice and we feel them and we taste them, we smell them, our senses should come alive, telling us that Jesus loved us so much that he couldn't stand the thought of an eternity without us in it. And so he gave everything. He gave his life. What more? What more could he give? Ralph Davis is going to have a special prayer of blessing over the emblems, if you'd bow your heads.
Let us pray. Kind Heavenly Father, as we partake of these emblems representing your spilled blood and your broken body, we're thankful for your many blessings. We're thankful for all that you've done for us. Forgive us of our sins and our shortcomings and all of the things that we should have done that we didn't do. And we're thankful for your many blessings that you hear us. So guide us and direct us this day. And may we remember that your coming is soon and that we should be ready. Forgive us, Lord, and thank you for hearing us because we prayed it in thy name. Amen.
Amen. Would that each and every one of us were so moved by the sacrifice of Jesus that we break up when we're asked to do the prayer. Love you, Ralph. Thank you for not treating the Lord's Supper as old hat routine. I'm going to invite the deacons to come forward now. And we are going to disperse the emblems of Holy Communion, the bread and the grape juice. You will take one of each, both of them at the same time, if you please. And I thought it would be very meaningful while the emblems are being dispersed if we could open it up for a few testimonies, if anyone wanted to just give a special testimony to God for the blessing that they've been given. Anyone like to do that? Steve, break the ice for us, please. Amen. Thank you, Steve. I'm thankful that I'm not the only one getting older. Tomorrow, Brett Laporte and Bobby Joe Davis have birthdays. So praise the Lord for birthdays. Means we're still alive, yeah? Anyone else? Cherie, please. Yes, well, we come together and worship together as a church family. Wonderful. Wonderful. JC, you're leaving us tomorrow. Say it ain't so. Oh, we know it's part of you going where you're going to go, but we're going to miss you so much. What do you have to say? Yes. You're going to do fantastic, girl. And I'm going to be asking Roger all the time, hey, how's JC doing? So you better tell him and your other relatives that are part of this church updates, because we want to hear how it's going, because we know you're going to be killing it. Good for you, girl. We are so blessed to have you and your family here. I've known your husband for just a few years going back, and it was a pleasure. pleasant surprise when I saw him lurking in our hallways. So, Devin family, great to have you here. His mom is like the frontier woman of them all. You should see the garden that she raises up in Whitmore. I mean, she gives out veggies to everybody and cooks. She used to make the best pies, and I don't know if she's still doing that, but tell her I wouldn't mind if she sends a pie my way. But seriously, great to have you here. Hope your vacation is fantastic. Anyone else want to say something? Well, we hold in our hands the emblems of the Lord's sacrifice, the bread and the grape juice. The bread represented the body of Jesus. And that night in the upper room, he directed his disciples to take, eat. This represents my body that will be broken for you. Let us eat. Amen. And then he took the cup. And he said, this cup represents my blood that is going to be shed for you. It's going to be a new covenant. But it's going to be your hope of seeing me again in heaven. So let us drink. Amen. Amen. We have a wonderful tradition, as I pointed out earlier, of receiving a love offering. It's a free will offering. It's if you wish. But this offering goes to help those in need. And it is dispensed very judiciously. And so whatever you give to this, it will be helping someone who is in need. So there will be deacons at the exit at the conclusion of our service if you'd like to contribute to that. Steve, come on up here and help me. In closing, we're going to sing a song that is, I was asked once, what is my favorite hymn? And this is what I said, great is thy faithfulness. And so you want to grab a microphone there from your dad. The words that particularly spoke to me is morning by morning, new mercies. And we talked about not making the communion service a routine, so we want to sing this great grand hymn now. If you'd like to follow in the church hymnal, it's number 100. I will grab the remote here so I can move the slide so you can read it off of that.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thy own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 besides. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
And Lord, we thank you for your great faithfulness, even to us. In the name of Jesus, amen.